good news of Christ.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us today as we look at this passage by your Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we are in John chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8. The Bibles in front of you will have it in as well if you would like to keep an eye on what I'm saying and make sure I'm getting it right. So we're 6 days before the Passover. Jesus is at Bethany where Lazarus lived, and he had raised him from the dead. And so there was a dinner given in Jesus' honor. It says, Martha serving, Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. You may know when it says reclining at the table, they kind of ate sideways lying down. I have demonstrated this in the past. I think there is a picture on the church Facebook page of me demonstrating it in the past. I'm not sure my knee would do me to get down on the floor because of the running I've been doing lately, and it's hurting. But they kind of lay sideways, and it's a very strange way to eat, but that's what they did. And so there they are, reclining at the table. And then Mary, it says, took about a pint of pure nard, which is an expensive perfume, the gospel tells us. So a pint, if you have gone through a conversion process, would be about half a liter. Is that fair? So it's about half a liter. I know a lot of you still think in pints, but some of you think in liters. So it's half a liter or a pint, which is quite a lot. I don't know if any of you ever buy perfume or fragrance. Just raise a hand if you do. We bought it for someone. Yeah, probably. I'm going to guess it was 100 milliliters. I don't know what that is in pints. I guess a fifth of a pint. It's not going to be massive, right? This is a pint. This is a lot of this expensive perfume. She pours it on Jesus' feet and wipes his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There's a number of things we could say about this passage that have been said before. The thing I feel that for us now I want to focus on today is the question, how do we worship Jesus? How do we worship Jesus? What she did was an act of worship. And an act of worship, as we'll get to later in the passage, in the present. She poured this perfume. Later on, it tells us she'd been saving it up. And she decides, I'm going to use it today. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, last week. Was it last week? I apologize. I don't know what week it is. And that is not just because I'm losing my mind. It's because I kind of plan about 4 services at once to different degrees. So I'm thinking right now about today, Palm Sunday next week, various services through Holy Week, Easter Sunday, and the one after that, and the one after that. So if I ask what day it is, it's not because I've lost the plot, honest. It's Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you came, Brad. Now I have to get back on track, which is always the hard thing. And you always sit there. Good. Bless you. It's Sunday. So, I've just totally lost it now. What was it? Perfume? I know, I can't remember. I've lost. I'll go back to what I was saying. Okay. Worship, thank you. This is about worship, which we do on Sundays. There we go. Thanks, and I'm back. She worshipped Jesus by pouring out this perfume. Now, it was a lot of perfume. As I said, it was a pint's worth. And how much would that have cost? It tells us it's worth about a year's wages. When we get these comments about a year's wages, it normally means for the average kind of wage. They didn't have minimum wage back then, but whatever it is you would get as the average wage, that's about what it would be if you're a laborer. So it was worth a year's wages. 300 denarii is what's in the Greek, and a denarius was what you'd get each day. So that just gives you a ballpark. I don't know how much you make in a year, or what the average wage is in Canada. It depends who you ask and where you live. But we're talking a lot of money. This is an extravagant act that she does. And the people there, of course, led by Judas Iscariot, they just think this is awful. She's pouring away huge amounts of money in this perfume. Now, one of the things we could go with is the fact that the men there probably would have thought this was quite odd. It wasn't the way a woman would normally behave at dinner, to pour perfume on someone's feet and wipe it with their hair. And that there's many sermons you can listen to that will take that angle. But the question I have is about how do we worship Jesus? If you know anything about this Mary, I don't think she had a lot. She didn't seem like she was a rich person. So this was probably almost everything, value-wise, everything she owned, poured away. They were upset, the people at the dinner. As I say, led by Judas. But we're given a clue in the gospel as to why he's upset. It's because if that was sold and the money was given to the poor, he would look after the money and then he would dip his hand in and take some of it out, because that's what he did. Jesus' words in verse 7, leave her alone. It was intended that she would save the perfume for the day of my burial. Jesus said in John chapter 10:10, I've come that they might have life and life in all its fullness. And that's one of the verses that we as a church have put as at the head of our vision. We believe that in life after death and in life now. And this is about life now. In the here and now, she said, I'm going to choose to worship Jesus. And so Jesus' leave her alone was in a sense saying she would be using this. She was going to do this anyway. It was going to be for when I was buried. But instead, she's brought it into the present. And by doing that, it shows Jesus how much she loved him, how much she wanted to worship him. Worship comes from an old English word, worth-ship, W-R-T-H-S-H-I-P. So to give worth to something. Everyone worships. The question is, what do we worship? She poured out the perfume, not at some later date after he was dead, but now in the present. And in that way showed him how much he meant. As an aside, there's a total tangent you could go down here, which is, how often do we not say nice things about people until they're dead? How often do we wait? And one of the prayers, if you've come to a funeral I've led, that I like to throw in, is a prayer called, If Only. If only, Lord God, if only we'd said more. If only we'd said less. There's something implied in this about what does it look like to take the things that we think and say them to people when they're still with us and around. As I say, a little bit of an aside, but only slightly. I have another aside I'll come to in a bit. So, she pours out the perfume. The gathered crowd at the dinner are a bit upset because of the sheer value of what she is doing, the money that's being poured away. And in doing that, she is worshiping Jesus. So I wonder for us, back to my original question, how much are we prepared to worship Jesus? Now, in a sense, as with every sermon, I am preaching to the choir, which is, you know, you're here worshiping Jesus. But as we think about worship in different ways, we talk about worship being for the whole of our lives and not just for Sundays and not just for an hour on Sunday morning. And yet, there's something about coming and pouring out what we have to offer on a Sunday morning. Some of us will raise a hand in worship. And I kind of, for a number of years, was kind of wanted to be someone that felt free enough to raise a hand in worship. But often I didn't. Maybe because I was in a church where that was frowned upon. I've told you the story before of in Cambridge, King's College Chapel. Nod when you remember this. But it has a punchline. So, there was someone that had gone there for a service, and they came from a charismatic Pentecostal background. And so as the choir was singing this wonderful song, they started raising their hand in worship. And one of the people, and if you've ever been to an English cathedral or a chapel like King's College, they'll wear a suit, and they may even have a bowler hat, and they've normally got a stick. And the person walked along with holding the stick, just in case, and tapped the worshiper on the shoulder and said, "Can you put your hand down? This is the house of God," she said, "and I'm praising." "No, this is King's College Chapel, and you put your hand down." I'm not sure if the story happened, but having been there, I think it's quite likely. And yet, at the Whitecaps games, you can't shut people up for singing. They're not singing quite the same songs we do in church. So that's interesting. And be it soccer or hockey or whatever sport, how many people are so happy to jump and shout and scream when their team scores a goal? But put my hand up in worship, no. So that's something, not that we have to do, but in a sense, it's an extravagance that we can do. Not because we want to raise our hands in the air, but because we join in with the old church. I say the old church because if you go to some of the chapels in Italy and you see these kind of wonderful paintings on the ceiling, the people are not worshiping like this. They're worshiping with their hands high in the air. So that is one of the traditional ways of reaching our hands up to heaven. We worship in song, and again, apart from occasionally at soccer games, and maybe if people sing the national anthem or alternative lyrics to anthems, we won't go there, then we don't do a lot of singing. And there's something about coming to church and singing with 50 to 100 people and praising God. That's our way of choosing to pour out the perfume now. And I said that I'd have another aside, so just a note, don't try this at home. If you happen to have a pint of perfume, just for the avoidance of doubt, please don't bring it to church and pour it out. It would feel like a bit of a waste, and B, we do have a number of people in the church with fragrance allergies, so it is something to be aware of, and I say that because it's kind of hard to say this stuff sometimes, but if you've been wearing a fragrance for a number of years, you may not realize how much of it you use, and so you probably need less than you think. So I just say that because we do have a number of people with allergies, and it's good to be considerate of one another. The fragrance filled the house where they were having dinner. And the image of that, of the scent stretching to fill the place, allergies aside, was one that nobody could miss what had happened. If our worship is so inconsequential in our city that nobody knows we're here, I think that's a shame. It's great for us to do youth groups and have kids ministries and the baby cafe and running Alpha and all the other things that we do. But it begins with worship. It begins by showing up and singing out. It begins by showing up and standing in praise. It begins with the commitment that we have to each other and to God to give a tiny part of our week and our day to Him. Let's not wait till the day of burial to worship Jesus. Although, please come on Good Friday at 10 o'clock. Let's make worship something we always do. Let's call to mind the extravagance of the gift. And worship isn't just about singing and being at church. Worship is many different things that we do. It's how we give to support ministry that's going on. Worship is about giving thanks before we eat. If you say grace before a meal, that's an act of worship. So it's not just about Sundays. But, and I would say this, wouldn't I, because it's my job to be here, I do think Sunday's important. Worshiping one with another, offering God all that we have and all that we are in a world that is uncertain and at times feels crazy. We don't worship always because we have the answers. We don't sing the songs always because our life is going perfectly. We do it because God first loved us, and this is our response to Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You that You've called us to this place this morning to worship You, to worship Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the One who walks alongside. Help us to be people who pour out all that we have and all that we are in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.